We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, more Gresh and Fauria
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
12:01 into hour three, Gresh and Fauria. Hi-ya! Jones and Mayo coming up 2 o'clock. Who do they got today? We got Andy Hart at 12:20 coming up next. They got Scal today at 4:30.
Ooh, and we got a three-parter on Big Deal, No Big Deal, by the way.
Oh, we do?
I just wrote your teaser. And just everybody listening, just so you know, okay, don't blame Gresh. I write the teases for Big Deal, No Big Deal.
Yeah,
I do.
Fauria has full ownership, so it's kind of like when Colin Jost and Michael Che end up writing jokes for each other. Yeah, that's you. You're like writing the tease for it.
Not everyone hits.
No, they don't. And sometimes you don't remember, just like Pizza Day.
Can we just get an assist on the pizza for tomorrow? It's okay if you guys got to be like, yo, by the way, you owe us lunch. And I don't even know why I owe us lunch in the first place, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't even know how you worked yourself into this spot to where you would have been called out. I don't know,
what it was. No, it wasn't. It was Friday's bet that the Thursday bet we were in Springfield.
Okay.
I took Brent Stover's advice, and the game that I picked was a push.
Oh, that's right.
So I just took the L anyways to be a good teammate.
Well, technically it does sort of count as no bet. So
but
in
it's
theory,
not a
you
loss.
Could do no punishment.
Yeah,
but
I took it anyways.
But yeah, well, because you really want pizza.
I would like to think I'm more of a good teammate. But, you know, however you want to phrase it, it's
all
up
right,
to you.
That's fine. No, I would tell you, you're a fantastic teammate. Don't get me wrong, but
those cupped pepperoni.
But I was just gonna say now the inner fat Fauria is coming out.
And I can eat it in front of you. You can't have any of it.
That cupped
I should get you like a pound cake.
It doesn't. Honest to God,
with the middle part taken out.
Hey, you know, and you've probably figured this out by now. I'm not a big eater at work.
Nuts.
Yeah, not a big work eater.
No, it's when I eat it that
don't
is
really
important.
Like eating around.
I got to eat mine around 12:50, 1 o'clock, and then I'm good.
Yeah, I know. You're very regimented. You'll kind of get the...
Because I fall asleep.
I was just going to say, it's either the cranky butt or fall asleep, one of the two.
Fall asleep.
You need that 12:30 rush of protein.
Yeah. Well, in this place, it would be straight carbs.
100 years old. He's just 2 in the afternoon nap.
I would love an afternoon nap. Right in the sun. That's where I want to be.
Well, if you can find some of that, apparently we have more rain coming.
Yeah, it's fine.
At least
I took my little snow plow poles out of the yard yesterday.
Oh, really?
Finally did that. I'm assuming there's no more snow.
Now you know what's going to happen.
It's going to snow.
It's going to
snow on Easter.
Well, of course it will. Let's get to the latest in gambling. No. I know we just talked about the lunchtime parlay. This is as much about you, the sports fan, folks, at 617-779-7937. We want to open the comments section for this one because within the last week, we have had the NCAA tournament, which in terms of money bet is Super Bowl-like across the whole tournament. We've also had Shohei Ohtani have to give a confusing statement a little bit on the relationship he had with this interpreter who would have had access to be able to wire out, you know, almost $5 million in money to a bookmaking operation. And then we have this knucklehead up with it's the Toronto Raptor, correct?
Porter.
There you go. Who is trying to manipulate the prop betting market of, you know, over under all this kind of stuff. Here come the betting irregularities. And I think for some people, there is, okay, I know you can bet on sports, but I'm just not a sports bettor. I'm a sports fan, but I'm not a sports bettor. Then there are those who are pretty much exclusively sports bettors. I don't care about the sport. I don't care about being a fan. I just need the right angle on the right game for me as a degenerati to go in and try to make money. I think that's kind of like the real top end of the scale. And then there's just everyone else who might once in a while, maybe you put $10 on the Super Bowl because you're going to a Super Bowl party and you want to have a little skin in the game, something like that. But I really wonder, Christian, because you were a pro athlete, and I'm sure what the NFL told you in 1997 is way different than what they're telling players now. So let me ask you, as someone who at one point in time was involved in the integrity of the game of the NFL, as
responsible
a player,
for it.
Does all of this betting stuff swirling around our sports bother you, connect with you in a bad way, anything like that?
No.
It's funny. I thought there would be many more rank-and-file sports fans who would do the, see what this betting does? You know, it's bad for everybody. Yet, I don't know if we have had a full-blown scandal where you're like, oh, my God, I got duped. You know, like for whatever Tim Donaghy brought to the NBA or betting or whatever, it's been much more about officials, referees, things like that. But now we're seeing like bit players. I mean, with all due respect to Kayshawn Booty at LSU, he was a known guy. He was also really ended up a seventh-round pick. So he wasn't really that good. There was that manipulating the market. There's the dude up in Toronto. I mean, hell, if Shohei Ohtani is not betting on baseball and he's got $1 billion net worth and he spends $4.5 million betting, to me, it's not a big deal. It's a guy who might be wasting his money at the end of the day, but you know what I mean? It's not affecting me as a fan. It doesn't affect the integrity of the game. It doesn't affect me sitting there thinking, oh, my God, that guy's up to something. Yeah,
I'm amazed. I'm amazed that guys try to like circumvent the rules, or they try to think that they can get by. All these guys, think about the biggest names when it comes to gambling who have been an issue. Ohtani, who he'll probably skirt, you know, be free, no big issues. And if he was gambling, so what? Who cares if he's gambling? He just can't gamble on baseball. There's the Calvin Ridley situation. There's the Pop Douglas situation. Not Pop Douglas. Kayshawn Booty situation.
Booty, yep.
Okay, when he was in college, there's this Porter kid for the Raptors and low level type stuff. I'm amazed guys still think that they being the betting world, algorithms and triggers and obvious signs when somebody's up to something. They always catch them. Eventually, they always catch them.
Yeah, that's the thing about the betting markets in terms of it being regulated, is that now the communication is better than ever before. Whereas, you know, 30 years ago or whatever, you would have a guy at the South Point Sports Book talking to the dude at the Super Book at the Las Vegas Hilton, who's talking to people at Caesar's Palace, and it was much more underground, and it was maybe a little harder to be able to track that kind of stuff because everybody in Nevada needed to report if there was irregularity on a game or something like that.
But here is the problem, though, okay?
Yeah.
And this popped up 2 hours ago. NCAA president, and we know this guy very well, Charlie Baker, announces they are aiming to remove all college prop bets, okay, in all these major markets. Says, quote, sports betting issues are on the rise across the country, with prop bets continuing to threaten the integrity of competition and leading to student athletes and professional athletes getting harassed. He uses the harass. Like,
oh, of course.
How are they getting harassed?
No, it's now.
How
what
are they be getting harassed?
Right. Somebody hoots at him, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't hit your over.
Yeah. Oh, but it's the same thing they used to do in fantasy football. He goes on to say the NCAA has been working with states to deal with these threats, and many are responding by banning college prop bets. This week, we will be contacting officials across the country in states that still allow these bets and ask them to join Ohio, Vermont, Maryland, and many others and remove college prop bets from all betting markets. The NCAA is drawing the line on sports betting to protect student athletes and to protect the integrity, there's that word again, of the game. So they do it in college also.
Well, here's the thing. a lot of it. Now, maybe what the states could consider would be athletes that are underage and don't have the ability to bet legally at 21 years old. Maybe you leave some of those players off of the prop bet list. And maybe that is something to consider, because you know what that sounds like from Charlie Baker? Complete just verbal masturbation. It's no different than when the NFL, and I remember this because I was working in Rhode Island at the time, Christian, when the NFL sent some lobbyists in whenever Rhode Island was trying to get ready for their sports betting legislation. Yeah. And they send the lobbyist in to, you know, oh, you know, we'll take you to this nice dinner, you see. And, you know, maybe we'll hand you an envelope under the table. Maybe allegedly, we don't know. Don't want to speak about that. And tried to get an integrity fee that would be paid by every state to the leagues, because they were the one putting on the event. And then you can bet these companies make money, and they took all the free dinners and everything, and then were like voted, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. That to me is what this feels like. And if the NCAA really wants to be serious about it, they should say, if you can't bet and you're under 21, then they shouldn't be on there for prop bets. That would at least be a reasonable thing to ask, other than, hey, you states, you've already got this money coming in. Some of it you really need from a tax standpoint. But I would really appreciate it if you would limit the kind of wagers that we can make, because, you know, these are just kids.
How are
you then turning around and going and get hundreds of millions of dollars for an NCAA basketball tournament then, which is one of the biggest bet things going? See, like,
It is interesting because they mentioned the word harass. Like, they, hey, the reason we're going to get rid of all these prop bets, because these are student athletes. These are just kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a point, they're right. So, okay, so, you know, just to kind of tag off of what you said, any player who is in college that has a prop bet attached to them,
mm-hmm.
you cannot bet on that prop bet if that guy's under 21.
Yeah, you don't even offer it.
You don't even offer it until he hits 21. Then it's no big deal.
By the way, it's not going to happen.
21, well, you don't think that they're going to be able to regulate it?
No.
Well, he's pleading with states like, look, be like Vermont.
Sure.
Be like Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Be like Maryland.
Yeah.
Those are upstanding states.
I mean, I just...
Why don't you think it'll happen? You don't think that he has enough
pull
to sit there and that to happen?
No, the states are like... Yeah, because here's what the states will do.
You're not thinking about the children, though.
Here's a,
it's your problem. You're not thinking about the children.
You know what? Guess what? The NCAA never has either, so what
true.
Do I care?
Yeah.
Guess what? When you and I were played for them, did they care about us?
Nope.
Hell no.
Nope.
Here's what the states will do. Hey, Johnson. Yes, sir. Look up how much money the state of Massachusetts made on college prop bets. Yes, sir. I'll get right back to you. They go and look it up, and they get that number, and then they go, tell Charlie to whiz off. Oh, $100 million in revenue?
It.
Get the hell out of here.
Everybody's like, go get her guy. Johnson!
Yeah.
Get over here, Johnson.
Come here.
Yes, sir. What do you need from me, sir?
All right. Kelly and Amherst wants in on the whole gambling and sports. Kelly, go ahead.
What's up, guys? Yeah, so I don't know. You're asking about what we do if we think it's going to affect the sports or anything like that, or how do we feel? Personally, I'm not really worried about it. I've been a degenerate gambler since I was about 12. But I will say this. In the old days, there was this sport called boxing, and it was really, really, really popular. And as you may know, it's not so popular now. And the number one reason, in my opinion, is because people decided that it was all fixed, you know? I don't know if that could happen to, like, the NBA or the NFL, but I do feel like with more and more money coming into these sports with the betting, it's a risk. And, like, single out, for example, UFC, yeah, definitely, that could be trash, 10, 20 years from now, because everybody says, oh, it's all rigged, it's all fixed, and it could possibly happen to even the major sports that we love. That's my thought.
Yeah, Kelly, it's interesting because it is a slippery slope, and, you know, Dice, ironically, just texted into 37937. Biggest issue with sports betting so far is coming to UFC with the James Krause scandal. That was a guy who went into a fight hurt, hid the injury, bet on himself to lose because he knew
Jesus.
He was going to take the fall.
Yeah.
And that one, but again, Dice is right. That's one of the bigger ones. But was it on your radar, Christian? How many people just... Again, if you're a UFC fan, like Dice and I will DM about UFC picks and stuff like that.
But
if you're not a big UFC fan, would you even know that this guy did it? He's a low-level fighter.
Let's just say there's 100 bets that are made. Out of those 100, there may be one, possibly two, that are shady. I'm just spitballing based on, so it really isn't really affecting anybody of any significance. Maybe the casinos, maybe the online betting apps, but even then, if the number gets too high, like this Porter case, this guy from the Raptors, where he was hoping the unders were the numbers that were being overbet.
Yeah.
And there's limits on what you can bet with the under. So he got flagged. Nobody's losing real money. If you're talking about a $4 million bet and that type of bet, I feel like you have to literally walk into the casino with your handlers, give them the money, sit there and wait for the game to be over or the fight to be over, and then they will pay you.
Well, that's why the Ohtani thing is such a big deal, because if it was in the unregulated sports betting market, clearly that's something that all the sports don't want their players to engaging in. I think the days of point shaving are done. I'd like to think so, because I think that's what a lot of people kind of just sort of automatically go to,
yeah,
of the point shaving scandals of, well, there was the one in CCNY in New York, I think it was, and there was the Boston one up here. There was Arizona, yeah, State.
There was a guy from the movie Blue Chips.
Oh, yeah. Arvin Engen. No, I don't know. It was just a name from Head of the Class. Andy Hart will join us next. Ooh, Hartfizer. Do you have any intel?
No, I don't. He wore, I think, brown yesterday. I'm going to go with his go-to when he's at home, which is Clemson.
He's going to go to the brown one again.
Okay.
So I'm just going to vote for sheer laziness on that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Well, we were both wrong on the hat. For those of you who are watching on Twitch, I had brown. Fourier had Clemson. Instead, it's just a hometown Harry.
Dartmouth.
In his lacrosse, Dartmouth hat.
Green, boring color.
From our friend
Faded.
Andy Hart of WEEI.com. Oh, come on. They were going to get a whole story connected to the hat, which is why it's run down, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'd never take this hat off.
This is my favorite. It's a good classic that I've had for many years of
coaching on the youth lacrosse sideline in my day.
There it is. The officials know. Find the dink with the visor.
Yep, that's probably accurate. But no, and you should have guessed this. In honor of spring sports starting up, youth sports, lacrosse, everything, the grass is growing. Mm-hmm. Like spring is in the air.
I don't have to pay attention to those things, thank God.
You are such a curmudgeon.
No, I'm just saying, what do I have to worry about that the Dartmouth women's lacrosse season is starting?
You don't have to worry about it. You could support it and be like,
there
oh,
you
that's
go.
Nice.
Oh, good for them. Yeah, great. Go,
oh,
go
I hear it
them,
in
kids.
Your voice. Good for effing them.
Yeah, go get them, kids.
Jesus.
I didn't know you got it on your calendar because you get to go out and start yelling at these kids.
Plus, now I got a boy and a girl, and I got to cross-reference the schedule.
Yeah, you need a black book like Fourier's got. Yeah.
So it's an old-school calendar. That's what it
is. I got the big desk version because I need the size.
You want to see it all the time?
Is it the way to, like, the giant one that has, like, the squares that are, like, this big day one?
Absolutely. That way I can put in, like, not only all the games, but then, like, fill in for Gresh 10 to 2, and my wife knows where I am when I'm not home.
You know, we did. We put one of those, like, giant dry erase boards. Calendar
Ooh,
things up on the wall so that everything can be erased and changed.
Yeah,
and
I don't I don't trust my kids. They'll F with it. They'll erase it. They'll change things, and then I'll miss stuff. I came home the other day, and this is a side note. If anybody in IT is listening, if you search my computer and there's anything weird, it's because my son and his friends were effing around. I accidentally left my laptop on the table open, and I came home later, and they're all giggling. Hey, you should, you're searching weird stuff. Huh? You're going to get in trouble.
Oh, I love it.
Was like, it was like
searching weird
male
stuff.
Body inspirations. So it was all these dudes in like freaking Speedos like flexing. And then there I want to be careful here, little people wrestling videos or something. Like those are the two things that were open.
There is micro championship wrestling that they were probably watching.
Yeah. So if anybody
they were helping you.
Damn what? It. What?
I
future
even,
career?
Yeah, I
future career.
Go there.
South.
Damn it.
Go there.
Even,
absolutely.
I couldn't even make
terrible.
The joke.
Terrible.
You're
you embarrassed
too tall
yourself.
To be in
it
micro wrestling. Couldn't even be a manager. Yeah.
Screw you.
You could be the heartless guy who's just a little taller than them who could make them do things they don't want to do. You
could be the giant.
You'd be the heartless promoter.
You would be Andre the Giant.
Yeah. I can be the giant in that world. That's not a bad idea.
See,
and then I can just
throw
them around.
You're missing an opportunity, a real opportunity.
I'll tell you what. I mean, yeah, down the Cape Cod Melody tent in a minute.
Yes.
Signing up with them.
So, Fitzy will be in the front row with an IPA and throw it out.
Can you imagine Fitzy made all the jokes that he could make at like a micro championship wrestling or something like that?
I can imagine.
It'd be wrestling after dark, though, so there's nobody gets irritated or agitated or upset. All right, so have you changed your opinion of the last 2 days with the Mayo talk and the Kraft talk? Have you slept on it, right? You had the head coach speak and you had the owner speak. Have you reevaluated the situation, or have you realized that it's worse than you thought?
We talked a little bit about this yesterday, like the mixed messages. In the end, I'll look back on this and reevaluate. I don't know if the mixed messages is they have no idea what they're doing, or they're effing with us and they're kind of getting us going in a million different directions by design, and they know exactly what they're doing and they're trying to manipulate us. Like, everybody has grown to assume that Jim Harbaugh is trying to manipulate, right? Because if J.J. McCarthy goes before the Chargers, then Marvin Harrison probably is available for the Chargers, and Justin Herbert is throwing to Marvin Harrison, and Jim Harbaugh looks like a genius. And oh, by the way, sort of along those lines, he's also praising his guy. Like, there's some of that tangible, you know, praising and promoting his own guy. But are the Patriots, like, everybody latched on. Mayo talked a lot about Drake May and didn't really have anything to say about Daniels. But with Drake May, he brought up his ceiling and his floor, and he's young, and he's this. And I just, there is so much being said that it's almost confusing. Either they're confused or I'm confused, but somebody's confused in this whole damn situation.
Yeah, I just hate the thought that it feels like they've already decided the number 3 pick is going to the quarterback, and by God, whichever one falls is going to be okay. I think that's where I'm landing on this hard. It's the whole, like, do you really like all 3? Are you talking yourself into all 3? Do you need to go up to, say, a 2 or try to make a move up to get the guy you really want? I just don't want it to feel like Robert Kraft saying, hey, guys, end up with a high-end quarterback. Right after saying, by the way, that the team will be able to make the decision. And then he slides that in there to sort of say to them, well, this is kind of my preference.
Well, he takes his fan visor on and off, depending on what, like, sometimes it's the owner when he answers, and sometimes fan visor comes on and he talks like that. So I'm in a weird spot. I love Drake May in the fall. Then I talked myself into Jaden Daniels, which meant I talked myself into I like all 3, which meant I talked myself into just draft whichever quarterback falls to number 3. Now I've sort of talked myself out of Jaden Daniels. I've kind of gone cold on him. I'm all in on Drake May now, which means I'm setting myself up for disappointment when Drake May goes 2 to Washington, and now I get Jaden Daniels, who I used to like, but now I don't like. And there's too much time and overanalysis here. I put out a poll last night. I don't know if you guys saw it. Twitter, Jumbo Heart, that 66% of Patriots fans want the team to stay at number 3 and take a quarterback. So basically 2 out of every 3 Patriots fans want the quarterback. And that's all I asked. I didn't ask which one. I just said stay put, take different player, or trade down. And my response to the trade down, everybody always says the obvious. Well, you can collect picks and fill more holes. That is the obvious. But there's something else that's inherent and obvious with trading down. You need a quarterback. Where are you getting the quarterback? I read something ridiculous today on ESPN, their mock draft. They have them doing the Vikings trade, trading down 11, 23, and a first-round pick next year. Mm-hmm. And it said something like, the Vikings need a quarterback, and the Patriots are more set at that position with a quality bridge in Jacoby Brissett.
Whoa. Yeah. Reaching on that one.
What? Jacoby Brissett is suddenly some quality bridge or something? Like, this isn't Russell Wilson. If they had Russell Wilson, I could read that sentence. Oh, the Patriots are set with a bridge and Russell Wilson, right? Like, you could talk yourself into he's still young enough, he was once good enough, blah, blah, blah. Jacoby Brissett is not anything other than a great seat warmer, a great hole filler for a short period of time. But if you think long term, he is going to be like a multi-year or even a – I don't even love the idea of him a full year, never mind a multi-year answer. And quarterback is not a position you can just get. Can we all agree on that? You don't just say, oh, we'll figure that out later. No. I need to know the plan to get a quarterback. Like, that is the most important aspect of your plan. And tackle, I can figure out. Wide receiver, I can figure out. All of those other needs that are obvious that you'd be filling with the trade, I can figure out. But if you trade down, I don't believe you're getting a starting quarterback in this draft. I don't believe there's a franchise quarterback in next year's draft. Dion, you can take your Shador and shove him and just walk away. Don't care whether you want to play here or not. I don't want you to play here. And therefore, you're going multiple years without a franchise quarterback to start the development.
So, you know, do you think that the mock drafts, the amount of mock drafts one person will have is because they've received new information or they're just trying to find a new way of talking about other players?
I think it varies. And the problem is we as readers don't always know what we're seeing. Like guys like Daniel Jeremiah, I know Phil Perry has talked about this. Our own Mike Cadlick talk about, well, I'm doing 4, 5, 6 different versions of my mock draft. I'm not just going to do the exact same one every time. There are options. It's like a choose your own adventure. If you change it at 2, it
love
changes
those books.
Everything. Yeah, I loved them too. And, you know, if you change a choice early, it changes all the other choices down the road. And I think there is entertainment value in those. And you want people to click on them and you want people to talk about them. You want people to go to them. And then I do think there are other people that try to be as accurate as possible for as long as possible. And, you know, the Vikings thing was new information, right? The Vikings trading for that 23 chip, which then allows them, if they mm-hmm. want to move up. That was new information that made them a realistic talking point to trade up. So I think there's a combination of both, but I think most of them change their mock drafts. So we talk about them, we read them, and for entertainment value.
Yeah, as we're watching J.J. McCarthy here in studio, throwing to wide open guys. You know, that was a real problem with Mac Jones. So I wonder if we have to worry about that. That you know, he threw to too many open guys at the high level of college football that they each played. But I digress. Why? I guess here's the real struggle, Hart. I hear what you're saying about the quarterback and the whole, you got to know how to build it. The problem is if you stop building because you don't have it and you get the wrong guy in there, then you built a house for nothing. You built a house without a roof. And then can you save it? That's why to me, I now have completely given up after hearing Robert Kraft mention, oh, I want the quarterback. I've given up on Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. because I just don't think it's bad to draft guys that you think are going to be really, really good at their position. I don't want them so beholden that until they get the quarterback, then they can start the build. So how do you think they hedge their bet, if at all? Can they hedge their bet if they just take whomever's there at number 3, you build it, the guy stinks, 3 years later we're all saying, oh boy, at least they're high up in the waiver wire again?
Well, I will say this. We know it. It's stating the obvious. It all hinges on your ability to draft. And what I mean by that is not just the number 3 pick. I don't think it's very likely. Even if Elliott Wolf is really, really good. And what did Robert say? He's got experience and pedigree and all these things.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So let's say he's good. Let's say he's good at his job. I don't think there's a shot in hell he's going to pull off what he needs to pull off for this team to be really good really fast. And that's franchise QB, franchise left tackle, franchise wide receiver in the first 3 picks. I think that's borderline impossible. That's just not going to happen. But if the miss is the quarterback and he's good at his job and he hits at the left tackle and he hits at the wide receiver and you say he has a true number one wide receiver and a true left tackle from the second and third round, you can now you're still good. Like, there's no saying if you take the quarterback, it blows everything up, I guess, is my point, right? Like, if he's good at his job, hit the 34th pick. That's practically a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
We used to talk about that in the old days when they picked 32nd. Oh, it's almost a second round. Now 34 is almost the first round. You almost have two first-round picks.
Yeah.
So if you trust Elliott Wolf, not only do I trust him to put a value on the quarterback, which is the most important wild card here, right? Like, do you think there's a 70% chance that Drake May is a Pro Bowl-caliber starter in the NFL? Do you think there's an 80% chance? Do you think there's a 60%? Wherever you put that on there, isn't that the key information? How good you think he is? You don't know he's going to be great. You can't know that. No one knows that. That's not how that works. But what is your confidence level in that he is a capable QB? Because if he's a capable QB, even if you don't hit on franchise, capable. If he's a capable QB and you hit on the left tackle and the wide receiver, you're a much better football team, right? Like, just you're a much better football team. So it really comes down to, yes, the number three pick, but how good is Elliott Wolf on the whole with the decisions that he's about to make? Because I don't know if you heard Mayo the other day. He called him the GM, so I'm assuming he's
the GM. He backed
it
up, though. Yeah, he's like, beep, beep,
no,
sorry, or whatever it is that he does.
They can't help themselves.
They really can't.
It's just there's no filter. They say not only are we going to remove all silos, remove all filters.
And Robert mentioned Matt Groh, I do believe, and I thought he was, again, I got him leaving the Friday after the draft.
And Robert mentioned Matt Groh before Wolf and almost paused for a second to remember Wolf's name. And I was like, wait, is Matt Groh more like top of mind than Elliott Wolf? Like, what are we doing here?
So Jaden Daniels, pro day today. Drake May, I think, tomorrow. And then I think that's it for the top quarterbacks because you already had Caleb Williams. You had J.J. McCarthy. Now I'm assuming we would hear rumors that a certain quarterback took a visit to New England. Maybe they bring their girlfriend. They probably should, based on the fact that, you know, every player's girlfriend has to co-sign on where they're going.
Yep.
I mean, because I feel like it's going to go quiet now. What do you think?
It is probably going to go quiet. You're going to get those visits. Those visits will be much hyped. I don't know that they mean anything. I'm very much a cynic in this whole process. Oh, the Patriots talked to this guy at the Senior Bowl. Well, I would hope so. That's why they're there. That's their job. They talked to this guy at the Combine. I mean, that's why they're there.
They
that's
can't
their
take
job.
All the guys at the interview. Yeah.
Like, I don't know why you wouldn't talk to guys. It's literally your job. But I do think it'll go a little bit more quiet. We'll hype up those visits, and we'll hear those visits, or maybe what they want us to hear of those visits. That's where I get back to my original point. Are they good puppeteers? Are they going to play us like a fiddle to mix my analogies there?
Or
are we just going to get random, haphazard information coming out of Foxborough? Because I think some teams are better than others at what they want to get out there. You know, will they be going to dinner in the North End with Tim Tebow, like back in the day, and things of that nature? So it's going to be interesting to see who they visit with, who they host, what information comes out about those they had a 5-hour dinner at Davio's with Jaden Daniels or whatever. That's going to be interesting in the next coming weeks. We need the information. Can we be honest? We need the information. The draft's still a month away. Give me the update, Christian. What do you got on the wall there?
What do you mean? Who's on the board?
Oh,
29 days. There you go. 7 hours, 20 minutes, and 57 seconds.
We're still a month away. More than a month away.
Don't you think the homework is done, though, too, though? Honest to God.
No.
How can the homework not be done? What else? If you've met with them during the All-Star Games, the Combine, you've been in their pro days, what else do you need to see? This is analysis by paralysis. This is like coaches throwing in new plays on a Saturday afternoon when you have a walkthrough.
Yeah, I think it's everything. The other way. I think it's the whole talking themselves into it. I don't think anything is really decided
yet.
No, but
as far as like information is, either you think they're good or not, right? Either you think they're worthy. If they're all talented and they can all play in the league, what would be the one attribute that each player you would want to see from that player? If they're all physically gifted and they can throw it a mile and they can throw on the run.
No, it's at this point it's all about
the girlfriend.
Mental makeup. No, not the damn girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Or wife or whoever that is.
Mama.
It's not. It's about the mental makeup, the work ethic, the how you deal with stress. Like, in all honesty, if the kid is bouncing around the country, Jaden Daniels, let's just say, he's got 6 trips in 6 days and you're the 6th trip, well, how does he handle it? Does he seem like an a-hole who's been worn down by the stress of the situation? Is he loving life? Like, each bits of this are information in a massive decision. And you have to put it all together. And in the background, if I'm running an organization, I'm having all kinds of meetings. We're doing it in the media. I'd be doing the same thing. And I'd be saying, your job today, Christian, as my Southeast area scout, tell me why I wouldn't want Jaden Daniels, right? And you're like, wait a minute. Yesterday, you asked me to tell you why you would want him. Yeah, I want all the information.
I want all the options?
Everything. You know, it's like buying a house. Every house is different, right? Like, not even all, you know, you're at the top of the budget. You're buying a $2 million home. They're still all different. They still have idiosyncrasies. They still have, what movie was that? Was that Talladega Nights where he moves in and Elf, the heat scares him. And then Talladega Nights, the same, like, when you move in, you don't know what it sounds like when it's windy out, when it rains. Gresh, we don't need to talk about flashing. You don't know what the heat comes on, right? Like, it's all, well, it's $1 million home. I'm sure it's all fine. They're all a little bit different. Just like these are $1 million quarterbacks. They're all a little bit different. And that little bit of information at the end that you find out because you ask to spend a night in the house could be the information that sways you.
Was it Home Alone where like the boiler was like a monster?
Yes. Yes. And that's true. Every house.
Right. Yeah. Every I'm afraid house. To go down to the basement. Boiler looks like a monster.
Andy Hart, I know that you write at WEEI.com and the Six Rings post game and the podcast and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I know you spent 20 glorious years down at Gillette Stadium, and I really wonder how the talks went year to year about the Patriots claiming position after the draft. I mean, good God almighty.
That would fall under talk less, say less, have your talking points mapped out before you meet with the media.
Good Lord.
I actually didn't know where that plane was landing. When he said that, when he started sort of that phrase, I was like, where is this plane going? Where is it? Is this like P. Diddy trying to get out the country? Like, where is this emergency landing? Yeah, you're claiming position for cutoff castaways after other teams draft good players.
Patriots have been really known to pick up contracts that other teams write.
Yeah, I'm not really. It's a new era.
True. Good point. We got to think about everything differently now. It's not the way, predictable way we know before.
That's where they're going to burn cash.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Old cut players.
Some cut slap. Oh, we'll take on that $14 million.
Yes.
There you go. Andy Hart at WEEI.com. We're all over it, baby. You can
thanks, buddy.
Read him at WEEI.com and give him a follow on Twitter for the next time he pulls up Twitter at Jumbo Hart. See you later. There goes Andy Hart. Coming up. Membership in Bills Mafia is about to get more expensive. Mike Tyson is all ears with his new business venture. And Caitlin Clark to play in a men's league? Big deal, no big deal is next.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, big deal, no big deal. All right, first topic, Buffalo Bills. You know they're getting a new stadium, right?
The Buffalo Bills
are getting a new stadium. So this is via the Buffalo News. Season ticket holders who are in line to get some of the best seats at the team's new stadium are learning that the cost of those tickets are going to skyrocket. Per the report, season ticket holders have learned that their PSLs will cost anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000 per seat. For now, those are all the PSLs for the suites and club seats. General admission tickets are still to be determined. But as an example, a season ticket holder of the old stadium, a guy by the name of Joseph Lombardo, he has 8 season tickets at the current stadium. Based on this new cost analysis on the new stadium, his 8 tickets will now cost him $400,000.
Whoa, what?
Big deal, no big deal.
Oh, my God, it's a freaking huge deal. Are you kidding me?
Such
my
a
God.
Rip-off.
Well, you know, the whole PSL game.
$200 million, Joe,
you're finally right.
The whole PSL game is fascinating because Some have not been able to figure out whether it's like a greedy owner who's doing a cash grab, or is it an owner who's got part responsibility for the stadium doing the cash grab? Therefore, you're just passing it down to people who don't have anywhere near the long bread that the owner does to be able to, you know, put money into a stadium. But my God, like those, you normally you say to people, PSL, they're like, nope, I want nothing to do with that. And it's hurt franchises in other cities. But if you're Buffalo, what else is there to do?
Well, there's two things to this. One, if you're in Buffalo, I mean, it's about as blue-collar, hard-working, 9-to-5 city as you can imagine. Out of all the NFL cities, you got to look at Buffalo. And I don't remember the last time you went to Buffalo, but it's not like it's thriving.
Mm-hmm.
There's more empty factories and warehouses than any other NFL city I've ever driven into when I'm planning a team. And that was a while ago.
Yep.
Literal tumbleweeds rolling down downtown Buffalo. But so for this is like ridiculous to expect that community to pay that absurd amount. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. A PSL is just the right to buy the ticket.
Correct.
So you got to give me a little something, you know, just to kind of, you know, it's just your, so, and then I'll let you through the velvet rope. But then you got to buy your drinks.
Yeah.
Because do you remember who the first team to do this was?
Ooh, good question.
I'm going to take a stab at it.
Do you know?
I think
or did you
I
ask
think
a question
was,
you don't
no,
know the
I
answer
think
to.
It was Al Davis. I think Al Davis was the first one to say, we're going to do the PSLs. And it was in the old stadium, right? And there was some backlash there. And then even when people were trying to, you know, looking at the definition of what a PSL is, I remember they were going, wait, so you want me to buy the rights to the rights to buy the tickets, but still have to buy the tickets?
According to the Google.
Okay, good.
The idea for Stadium C licenses is generally credited to Max Mullman, a Charlotte, North Carolina-based franchise and stadium consultant, as the Carolina Panthers were the first NFL league team to implement the idea, using PSL revenue to help finance the stadium, which opened in 95.
Okay.
Now,
good
so,
guess, though, with Al Davis, though.
But I'm wondering if Al might have done it later, this was the guy who did it first.
I remember being in the league, you know, thinking or talking about this as we were going to that old crappy stadium, and wow, they're charging all these. And I think it was when they moved. I think it was early 94, 95 when they moved out of the Coliseum back to Oakland is what I remember it being.
Yeah, it looks like there might have been something in there, because apparently Al Davis sued the NFL trying to prevent the league from taking the money from the PSLs. So, to your point, maybe the other guy beat him to the punch, but Al was right there going, ooh, that's money.
Yo, I like that idea. I'm going to steal it and say it's mine. And then if they say no, I'm going to sue everybody.
My dumbass son would never come up with this.
All right, so you know what the Big Three is? Big Three Basketball League?
Oh, my God.
Are you a fan of it?
I love, and I personally got to, like, sit and interview Ice Cube. Coolest cat ever.
Yeah, loved it.
So cool.
So obviously he was the brainchild. He is the, you know, the star of that. He invented it. He hires everybody. It looks like he wants to dabble in the women's college basketball market, because the word is Caitlin Clark could be in the line to make history. Now, if you don't know Caitlin Clark, just watch women's basketball. She is literally the most important, popular person in all of basketball right now. But Ice Cube offered her $5 million for 1 year to play in his Big Three League tournament. Big deal, no big deal?
Very big deal, and I kind of like it. You know, one of the people behind the Big Three is Amy Trask, who, it's funny, we've been making fun of Al Davis, worked for 25 years or whatever it was underneath the thumb of Al Davis, and is a brilliant executive. And for the Big Three, I mean, it's automatic TV ratings. If there's one thing Caitlin Clark has proven, you put her on TV, people are watching.
Okay, so it's $5 million to play in 8 regular season games and possibly 2 playoff games.
Yep.
So that's it. So 10 total games for $5 million guaranteed. Now, she will have to play against men. Now, they're old men. Like, Scal played in this tournament.
I was just going to say.
Before he was an announcer for CBS.
She would only go there if Scal were coaching.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is?
I think so. That's like the thing to put it on. Oh, all these athletes nowadays, you know, they got to pick their spots.
I do wonder, like, how she would hold up, though. Okay, because she's obviously the best college player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she will be playing against the likes of, I know. I think Gary Payton was in here one time. Just a bunch of old
Catino Mobley, people
guys you
like
haven't
that.
Heard of, yeah, yeah. Or some or stars that you know,
guys that are on clearly
names.
On the back nine. And
how
in
do
their
you think
40s.
She would hold up?
I think it'll be okay because it's only half court.
But still, I mean, if you really want to, okay, listen, if you're one of these guys, because part of the requirements, right, you have to try out for the big three. You can't just be some old player with a good name. You actually have to show that you can play. He doesn't let anybody just in this league. So
he also has never offered anybody $5 million to come play in the league either. I think it's kind of fait accompli. I don't know if they're going to have to put her through extensive medical tests.
Well, no, for
or
her,
anything.
No. But the other place, my point is that the ex-NBA players are just not off their couch.
Yeah.
Like, they're in shape. So you saw this. I didn't actually see it, but this was supposed to be a secret, like, you know, deal. And somehow it got up, and Ice Cube actually said, yeah, you know, no one's supposed to know about this. You know, we did offer her this. She's the most popular person. She would absolutely help our league. If you're her, the highest paid WNBA player doesn't make $250K.
Right.
So if she's making $5 million for 10 games, why would she not do it?
This is a pure guess on my part. Hurts the reputation a little bit, but more importantly,
it's better than going overseas to play for, you know, chump change and maybe getting.
She's already got some cash.
Well, nothing wrong with more.
Right. Well, I'm
10
not, right.
games, half court. And if you've been to one of these things, I feel like you play three games. Right. You play like three games in one day.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I liked it too.
They do a good job with it, and good for her. It really shows, again, it shows our TV drawing power. That's what this is about.
Yeah. And the last one I had was Mike Tyson is getting into the pot business, and he has these edibles that he's selling, and they are made in the shape of an ear.
Oh, yeah, the chewed ear.
That's how
I'll
end it. The
great
chewables.
Job.
They're making chewables. Listen, great PR. How else would it work?
Hey, at this point, what does Mike Tyson have left to kind of
Jake
push?
Paul.
Yeah, the Jake Paul fight, but yeah. Other than that. I mean,
nothing.
Weed.
Pigeons.
I don't know if he's gotten over that pigeon thing or whatever, but to your point.
Yeah
like Mike Tyson's Book of Pigeons. Like, yeah. Coming to a...
It'd be like a coffee table book.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, look at this one. They
coming
all look the
Amazon
same.
Amazon near you.
Here's
really.
One on a light post. Here's one that pooped on a cab.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's big deal, no big deal for today.
Well, it feels like as Red Sox fans, we've been kind of dutied on a little bit. It would have only taken $25 million to get Jordan Montgomery. What are we missing here? And a big game for the Bruins tonight. We'll get to that. Final hour aggression for you next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.